This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome in, Eagles fans, to this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you here in segment one. I'm not going to be here for too long because today is Crossover Thursday. It's the first one of the season. My co-host Gino Camilleri sat down with Locked On Washington host Chris Russell to preview this season opener in D.C. on Sunday between the Birds and the Washington football team. Cannot wait to actually see the Eagles in regular season action. It's been a long, hard offseason, and we've made it, football fans. All you got to do is get through this podcast and then get through a Friday show, enjoy your Saturday off, and get ready for kickoff on Sunday. So Gino and Chris, they're going to take a look at the Eagles offensive matchup against a pretty underrated Washington front seven. Maybe not the same underrated value of the secondary. I think the secondary is something the Eagles can exploit, but they're going to get into that matchup, all the X's and O's, the one-on-ones you should keep an eye on, and the same thing for the other side, Dwayne Haskins and the Washington offense against that Eagles defensive line, and a new look secondary. So we've got that full preview coming up in segments two and three. But before we get into that, an injury update for you on this Thursday edition of LOE, and it's a positive one, finally. I feel like I've been kind of the Grim Reaper here in segment one. I've been this dark black cloud that just continues to tell you how the Eagles are screwed when it comes to their injuries and how many key players might not be available for week one. But we got some really good news on Thursday, especially on the offensive side of the football. Miles Sanders was practicing today. He looks like he's going to play on Sunday. Lane Johnson looks really good as well, looks healthy, looks like he's going to give it a go at right tackle, which is huge considering I really like that Washington pass rush, and I think that's a matchup that could really sway this game if the Eagles aren't careful. But some unexpected news. Obviously, we know Jalen Reagor, the Eagles' rookie wide receiver, has been handling that shoulder injury pretty well. He's come a long way in his rehab, and you know that 3 to 4 week timetable kind of went down to 2 weeks, where you thought, okay, he's most likely going to be back week two against the Los Angeles Rams. And then you saw him practicing at a limited capacity yesterday. He was in shoulder pads and a helmet, and he was practicing with the receivers. But you still, at least I said on the show, he'll probably be held out of Washington. They have enough with, you know, DeSean Jackson, Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, John Hightower with Ertz and Goddard, and Miles Sanders, Boston Scott. Like, they have enough and their offensive line to beat that team on both sides of the football without Reagor. But today, Jalen Reagor was a full participant in practice. So he's doing really well. They're going to make sure, they're going to test out that shoulder tomorrow to make sure there's no soreness, there's no pain. And if he gets the green light, I don't know if he's going to play every snap or if he's going to be a featured player on the offense week one. Maybe they'll ease him back slow. But guys, I think we're going to have Jalen Reagor on the field on Sunday in D.C., and that is really exciting. You know, initially when that injury happened, I thought it was serious. I thought he was going to be out at least a month. Maybe you'd see him back against Cincinnati week three. Reagor has come a long way in a couple weeks. The second opinion, I guess, looked really good for his outlook on coming back early, and he's close to being ready to go, and that's really exciting to see one of the most anticipated players. I mean, fans are anticipating seeing Reagor out there. The excitement level for Reagor, there's not a lot of players that this fan base is ready to see more than number 18, and we could see that on Sunday. So great news on offense, because Lane Johnson, Miles Sanders, Jalen Reagor, they're going to be instrumental to not only Carson Wentz's success this year, but the Philadelphia Eagles on the offensive side of the football. We're going to get into that matchup as well as the Eagles defensive matchup coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. It's Crossover Thursday. Gino sat down with Chris Russell of Locked On Washington. That conversation is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Guys, this season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place, and NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You can learn from the best, like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the inaugural Crossover Thursday. It is different from last year where it was Crossover Wednesday. We're going Thursday this year, a little closer to game day. And what would it be, an NFC East matchup, without it being the first game of the season between the Philadelphia Eagles and the football team of Washington? And I am Gino Camilleri, joined by Chris Russell of Locked On Washington Football Team. Chris, I know I'm pretty excited. I know Lou's excited. Where's your excitement level at right now here on Thursday?
Hey, Gino, good to be with you as always. I would say this, probably since the last time you and I hooked up in a divisional crossover, it has been an absolute war zone of epic proportions around here over the last 3 months. So, you know, I mean, for us, many of us feel like this is December already in terms of the long grind of the season. But nevertheless, because it's real football and because it, surprisingly, in my eyes, we actually made it to Sunday, provided that nothing goes majorly wrong here over the next couple of days, it is a relief. And I am excited. And it's going to be, you know, especially with no preseason games, it's going to be fun to actually see real live football that matters and counts and where you can tackle everybody and, you know, where plays matter and they're not just running around in shorts and shells. So I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. I think tonight we're going to get a little taste of it with an AFC playoff rematch from last year between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. But on Sunday, we have a 1 o'clock kickoff. I feel like it happens every year, Chris, that the Eagles and Washington face off in week one. So to get right into things, this team is, let's say, a lot different than we've seen in the past couple years. New head coach Ron Rivera is in place of Gruden. What do you really expect out of Rivera? Do you expect a new culture to come in, a new life almost to this Washington football team with Riverboat Ron coming in? I feel like he's always been a high culture guy. So is that what you see him bringing to Washington, especially early on?
Absolutely. And that's what was needed the most. I mean, look, I know nothing is perfect in Philadelphia, right? I'm sure you guys have, you know, your arguments and your beefs with, you know, Roseman and with Doug Peterson and all that, but you know, A, they won you a Super Bowl, you know, and B, you're in the playoffs, you know, you're in the playoffs pretty much every year, right? When, no matter who the head coach was, Andy Reid, even that dumpster fire Chip Kelly, you know, and I know there's all sorts of different results every year and whatever, but I mean, for the most part, you guys are a stable, fun organization, you know, that plays meaningful football every December and January. Well, that's just the opposite here. Occasionally, they've gone on an Aladdin magic carpet ride around here and backdoored their way into a division title in a bad year with a hot December and, you know, whatever. And everybody got fooled to thinking, oh, we're better than we actually are. No, actually, you're not. And then the bottom, you know, really fell out last year. A lot of injuries, obviously. They've had a ton of injuries. I know Philly has had a ton of injuries, too. Washington's had more injuries than you can even shake a stick at. They've led the NFL in IR, you know, trips and all that over the last couple of years. That all sounds like excuses, and it probably is. It's reasons, But the bottom line is the franchise was rotten at the core, and it still is at the very core. But they've eliminated a lot of bad people, a lot of people that were taking shortcuts, a lot of people that were doing things wrong, treating people poorly, and now they have good people in place. And Ron Rivera, most notably, he started it, his coaching staff, now his personnel staff, now a new president. It has been a transformation and then some all summer long here in Washington. Will it translate to wins on the field? Probably not in year one, but I know this. They'll be better than 3-13. That's what I know, and I know they will be competitive, and they will play hard. Not that they didn't ever under Jay Gruden. They did, but they didn't play consistently hard, and they didn't play like their hair was on fire a lot. And I think that will be a major difference that even the most casual football fan can see from Ron Rivera's Washington football team.
Absolutely. And you mentioned 3-13. Not all bad things come with being a bad football team, as you did win the ability to draft Chase Young. And I know Lou and I have mentioned it multiple times that we are big fans of the last two drafts of the Washington football team. I'm a huge Antonio Gandy-Golden fan, so I was, of course, a little bitter at that. But the bell of the ball for you guys really seems to be that defensive line. And it looks like Ryan Kerrigan's going to be your third edge rusher. I mean, really, what do you expect out of these guys? Because I can see them being a top five unit when it's all said and done in pressures at the end of the year.
I mean, they are loaded on the defensive line. There's no doubt about it. And here's how loaded they are. They could probably, not knock on wood, they could probably absorb a early season-ending injury to any one of those guys and still be pretty good. Now, obviously you don't want that, but that's how good and how deep they are. And I'll compare it to something Eagle fans, will obviously remember. Well, when you guys won the Super Bowl, right? Not saying that maybe they had as much top end first round talent as Washington does, because there's a bunch of first round picks, and then Temple's Matt Ioannidis and so on. And you mentioned Kerrigan, who's kind of like a backup at this point, but I mean, he'll play 25, 30 snaps or so on Sunday.
Hey, he's an Eagle killer, man. He's always doing bad
exactly.
things.
No, you're right. And I think they'll move him inside more. Anyway, you've got four or five first round picks on that defensive line, right? So my point is, they better be awesome. They better be, because, they have to protect a linebacker core that is kind of, retransformed, but is coached by Ron Rivera, obviously the head coach, a former linebacker, as Philly fans know, Jack Del Rio, a former linebacker. Oh, and they have a linebacker position coach, and a remade secondary with a familiar name in Ronald Darby, who I know was, often criticized because of injury and play and performance in Philadelphia. But they have to get to the quarterback and Carson Wentz and whoever the quarterback is on the opposite side, especially when you have a kind of juicy matchup, it looks like, on paper, with all the injuries Philadelphia has dealt with. And I know Peters will stabilize some things on the left side, but, this is where you're going to win. They have to get off the field on third down. You cannot be on, allowing 45% on third down conversions, because that is going to destroy you. So that's the first thing I'll look for on Sunday, is not if they get home. They get pressure. They get home. Can they get off on third down? Can they do that on third and 8+, where regularly they have struggled in those areas? So to me, that's what I'm going to look at. And then in the red zone, do they have good communication on the back end? And part of that is not having to cover as long, right? So if the pressure and the pass rush collapses the pocket on Carson Wentz and that Eagle offensive line, maybe that helps what has been a major bugaboo for the Washington defense over the last couple of years.
I've seen it firsthand what a very, very good defensive line can do. But at the same time, here in Philadelphia, we've been burdened with not having a back end that can cover nearly for a decade. So I feel like we're going to see a lot of similarities between the Washington football team of 2020 and the past Eagles teams of the last few years. Because you mentioned the Super Bowl, they still allowed 505 yards in the air to Tom Brady. So So we, I've never known what it's been like to cover. So I feel like there's a lot of similarities between that current Washington defense and what the Eagles have seen in past years. Hopefully Darius Slay and co can turn that around. But before we wrap things up in regards to Washington, let's move to the offense, because when it comes down to it, this is a very, very young unit. It looks like you're going to have Terry McLaurin, Steven Sims, personal favorite of mine, Antonio Gandy-Golden, and Antonio Gibson, who I am just that is the one guy I look at Sunday, and I'm like, I think he can be a real difference maker because he brings a lot of those same Chris Thompson vibes when it comes to the passing game and what he can do. And if you look at what Chris Thompson did in the past few years, he really destroyed Philadelphia. And I think between McLaurin and Gibson, those are going to be the two guys to look at. But give me some X factors outside of the big names that we can look forward to probably get after this Eagles defense.
I mean, I'll just give you one that jumps right off out of the guys that you didn't mention, and that's J.D. McKissic, the former Seattle and Detroit running back slash receiver. I think he's really going to be a featured role in this offense, and I know he was listed as number one on the running back depth chart. That's not why I say that. He's not naturally the starter. It's going to depend on what personnel package they want to open up with. You know, if they open up in 11, or if they open up with 12 or 13, you know, multiple tight ends, you'll probably see a guy like Peyton Barber now that Adrian Peterson has been cut. But McKissic is a guy they will throw more to the running backs by design. Philadelphia Eagle fans have known forever, Andy Reid, Peterson, where you throw to the running back by design, which protects your quarterback. It protects your offensive line. It gets the ball in space to somebody who can try and make a linebacker or a safety or a corner miss in space. It protects everything, and that's the base root of your offense. I think you're going to see a lot more of that out of Washington. You mentioned Chris Thompson. Yeah, he's had some big games, obviously, but he was never he was so injured all throughout his career, and he came to Washington very injury prone from Florida State. There was 1.5 years where he was really healthy and really dynamic and really explosive, Gino. And outside of that, he was just kind of, you know, used as a check down option. Again, I think this Washington offense, to help Dwayne Haskins out, to help a spotty offensive line out because of McKissic, because of Antonio Gibson, because they don't lack a dominant tight, or because they lack a dominant tight end, I think it's going to be a lot more screen by design, short throw by design type of offense under Scott Turner, North Turner's son, who's now the offensive coordinator here in Washington. I think you'll see a lot of jet sweep, a lot of motion, more than you've seen out of Washington in years past. And you mentioned McLaurin. The question will be is, do they have a secondary receiver that can step up? I think that guy is Steven Sims. I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup because I expect Slay and McLaurin, who basically had a good battle when Slay was in Detroit last year, late November at FedEx Field. I think they'll probably cancel each other out. To me, this game will come down to whether a guy like Steven Sims can take advantage of a matchup against an Avante Maddox or a Nickell Robey-Coleman or somebody like that, as to whether or not the Washington offense can put up enough points to go toe-to-toe with Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia offense.
Absolutely, Chris, and NFC East battles are never easy. I never take them for granted. I mean, Washington was up 17-0 on us last year, week one, so it's always exciting, and it's exciting that we're going to get real football. So thank you for joining us, Chris, and Chris will be here to interview us, interview me, myself, Gino, on the other side of the break. So thank you, guys. It's Locked On Crossover Thursday. Have to get used to that, not Wednesday anymore, and we will catch you guys on the other side of the break.
Today's Crossover Thursday is sponsored by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you're going to need in a traditional chain storefront. You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
All right, we welcome you back on the Lock On Crossover Thursday edition of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Football Team. I'm Chris Russell. Good to have you with us as we talk about this week one matchup. I think this is the third out of 4 years that the Eagles and the Washington Football Team, the former Redskins, have met in week one. Of course, the Eagles scoring a come from behind win at Lincoln Financial last week one in 2019. Joining us once again is Gino Camilleri, who, of course, with Louis DiBiase, are your hosts for the Lock On Eagles podcast. I'm Chris Russell. Gino, good to have you back with us. Let's start, obviously, with the offense. I know all sorts of injuries along the offensive line. I know Miles Sanders has been banged up. Carson Wentz, for right now, is healthy. He made it through the regular season last year when everyone was dropping like flies, but then when it came to the playoffs, he got hurt early and they lost. How do you evaluate, I guess, starting from Carson, this offense and the prognosis for 2020 when factoring in the health concerns already?
Well, I'd say before Jason Peters moved back to left tackle, I was in a little bit more skeptical state, but I think they're in a solid area right now. And in terms of the scouting academy lingo that I use a lot, solid is like a 4 out of 7. Like, it's right in the middle. I'm not down on it, but I'm also not excited about the situation that we're in. I think if we had Andre Dillard and we could have kept Jason Peters at right guard, things would have went a little smoother. But hey, not every day do you have a Hall of Fame left tackle that you can just plug and play to protect your young quarterback's blind side. So right now, I'm okay. As long as Lane Johnson plays on Sunday, and that's a whole other thing that Doug Peterson didn't really commit to. But as a whole, you look at that offensive line, there's a reason that they continually draft 2+ offensive linemen literally every single draft. They run that team through the trenches, and Jeff Stoutland is one of the most important individuals in that building, being their offensive line coach, because he has faced adversity so many different times with that unit. I mean, going back to the Super Bowl year, Halapuli Vaitai was the left tackle. It wasn't even Jason Peters. He was hurt, so you're stuck with a guy who has now moved on to Detroit, but a player that you never expected him to be playing meaningful minutes for you. So you're in a position again where Matt Pryor is going to be your right guard, Lane Johnson's going to be your right tackle, Jason Peters is going to be your left tackle, Isaac Seumalo and Jason Kelsey have been there, so the continuity is okay. In terms of the wide receivers and the weapons for Carson, this is probably the best group I've seen them place around him. And if they don't succeed with this unit, there is a real question of if Carson can be the guy. But I totally think that all the pressure is off now. It's can we get the guys in the position like Jalen Reagor and DeSean Jackson and Ertz and Goddard and Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, the list goes on and on, to succeed this year. And I totally think with an invigorated offensive mind room with all the guys that they brought in there, like Morningwig and Co. and Rick Scandarello, they're going to have some big things ahead. And it's not going to be the Mike Rowe plodding offense that you've seen the last couple of years. I really think it's going to be that high-flying 2017, push the ball down the field, really attack things vertical element that we haven't seen for quite some time.
All right, well, let's focus on that because you mentioned Jalen Reagor, the first-round pick. He's a little bit banged up. We don't know if he's going to play or be 100% on Sunday. Obviously, Alshon Jeffrey did not practice on Wednesday. We'll see the rest of the week. He's clearly not going to be 100%. You know, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. Do they, if say those two, Reagor and Jeffrey, are kind of neutralized, or maybe one of the two misses, or whatever the situation might be, with Ertz and with Goddard and with, of course, old friend DeSean Jackson, who lit up the Washington secondary in week one last year. Do you think that, and you know, I know Miles Sanders been banged up as well. I mean, do you think that's enough weapons against this rejuvenated, let's call it that, Washington defense Sunday?
Well, there is one player on that Washington defense that this Philadelphia wide receiving core should be absolutely salivating at the idea of, especially because they excel in the area that he is not very good in, and that is defending double moves and defending the deep third of the field, and that being Ronald Darby. And yes, Jalen Reagor is banged up, doesn't look like he will go Sunday. Alshon Jeffrey really was probably like a week away from going on the PUP list, so he was never in the cards for week one, I would say. The team is going to run through the tight ends. It's going to run through Miles Sanders, but ultimately, they didn't just bring in one dynamic vertical field stretcher. They brought in actually, they brought in five this offseason with a fresh new DeSean Jackson, Marquise Goodwin, who unfortunately opted out, Jalen Reagor, and then they went out in the fifth and sixth round and drafted a guy in John Hightower out of Boise State who ran nearly a 4.4 time, and then Quez Watkins, who ran the fastest 40 at the combine and ran a 4.37. So this team can run, which is fantastic because they have guys that now can separate. They had last year J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in a rookie role who really couldn't do anything, and now he's your seventh weapon, and they're saying he's looking one of the better options out of camp. And you have a guy in Greg Ward who, look at what he did against Washington. He sent the Eagles to the playoffs in catching a last-second touchdown. So, frankly, I think the Eagles, in terms of top-heaviness, aren't as top-heavy as they've been in past years, but in terms of depth, where they've struggled, where you said it last segment, when they were bringing guys off the street to catch footballs last year, they finally have guys in-house who have developed with Wentz and guys like Greg Ward, and now they have young players in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Quez Watkins and John Hightower, even though Quez Watkins is currently hurt, but John Hightower, who is a field stretcher and can just continue to develop with Wentz. When those guys aren't forced to be the number one, like a guy who Nelson Agholor was in 2016, and they could play those role player roles, I think they're going to do just fine. And I think DeSean is going to have a big season. I think Ertz and Goddard will have big seasons, and Miles Sanders also should have a big season. But with them having big seasons, you also have to think what opens up for everybody else. Now that you have to defend those four guys, there's going to be guys where times when John Hightower is your fifth or sixth option on a play and he's getting open simply because you have to send two to DeSean Jackson because he's getting in a deep third of the field, or you have to send two to Zach Ertz because he simply is getting open in the middle of the field, or find a way to defend Miles Sanders. I think it's going to be fun to see a Doug Peterson offense finally have options, because I think the last 2 years it's been, how can we get it to Zach Ertz because we have nobody to stretch the field more than 12 yards? How can we get it out in the flat to our running back because we have nobody that can stretch the field more than 12 yards? And how can we get our wide receivers who can't separate in a position to where they can get the ball? And frankly, I think all of those questions are now answered. With this track team at the outside, things open up for Ertz and Goddard. They open up for Miles Sanders. They open up for the receivers down low. I don't think there's going to be as much stress on Carson Wentz to fit these balls into tight areas. I feel like he's going to be able to throw spots more, which we haven't seen in 2 or 3 years since really his MVP caliber run in 2017. And I know I'm talking it up a lot, but I mean, he has, for once, everything he needs to succeed in a Doug Peterson West Coast style offense.
That is a scary proposition for the Washington football defense on Sunday, despite the fact that everybody around here thinks the defense is going to be much, much better.
Oh, I do too. I really do think Washington is going to be reinvigorated.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, so one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, there's been so much changeover, and you mentioned the secondary issues all the way dating back to the Super Bowl year and the Super Bowl win, and all of that is fair. But one thing I wanted to ask you, you know, with Darius Slay in and so many guys out, i.e. Sidney Jones and guys I'm even forgetting about, that Rasul Douglas, you know, guys that have been there and now are out, Malcolm Jenkins as well. There's so many names and so much changeover. Again, the defensive line, much like Washington's, is the strength of this defense. Is it strong enough now to when you add in a lockdown type corner like Darius Slay, who they obviously pay a heavy price for, is it strong enough and that addition to kind of balance everything else out? Or do you still have major concerns outside of Slay?
So if you've ever been in like a, I would say like a sixth grade science class, and you know those scales that like that you always try to put the weights on to even them out, I feel like for a while the weights were all on the side of the defensive line, and it always came down to they can get pressure, but for 1.8 seconds, and then on the back end, everybody's open. So now we kind of have that weight on the other side that really balances out the scale in Darius Slay. And I would say in the defensive secondary, it's kind of that one position on the field that, yes, one player really can change the entire landscape of the game. I mean, you look at last year in New England, in Stephon Gilmore, he had a chance to be the most valuable player of the league simply because he locked down every good wide receiver and you made the team play on one side of the field. So for once, we don't have guys like Kerry Williams and a slow Jalen Mills on one side. We have guys that can run in Avante Maddox and Darius Slay, and you have Nickel Roby Coleman, who I think is one of the most underpaid slot corners in the entire NFL. And now these guys can run. They can hang on guys that create separation. I'm going to be shocked when we have somebody who can actually run with Terry McLaurin and you're not just seeing him run by a guy like Rasul Douglas or run by a guy like Sidney Jones who just never got his legs under him. I really do think it evens it out, but at the same time, you can't hang too much on a guy like Darius Slay and expect him to win you the ball game every week. That defensive line still has to go out there and dominate. I mean, they paid Javon Hargrave this offseason. They have Malik Jackson, who really didn't play last year due to injury. So you have a lot of guys that are going to come out there and play in this rotation that still have to hit home with the secondary being as strong as it is. But for once, I'm excited because we haven't seen a good corner in Philadelphia since Asante Samuel. And it'll be nice to see when Slay has a game-deciding interception because we haven't seen that in so many years.
Yeah, for Washington fans, they hope it's not week one at FedEx Field. All right, Gino, just because we're running late on time, I guess we'll let you out of here with a quick prediction. I assume it sounds like you're pretty confident in the birds. Do you think they cover the six? And I guess, do you have a final score prediction?
I would say absolutely, as being a gambler like I am, I think they cover the 6 points simply because of the continuity in terms of the Eagles. They have the same head coach. They have a lot of returning pieces that were injured last year that are going to be healthy, that are playing a big role. The offense finally has all the elements that it needs. And simply, Washington is going to get better. I said it on my show a couple weeks ago. 2020 doesn't seem to be the year that I'm too worried about Washington. I say 2021 and 22. I'm absolutely petrified to play that defense. But right now, I think the Eagles, they know what is in the balance of this season. They re-signed a guy like JP for this type of run. And it'll be interesting to see how they do in the long term. I think this is the game that they've averaged, close to 30 points in the last two games that they've played against Washington. They beat them by 13 points 2 years ago, and they beat them by 5 last year. So if you take the average around 7.5, 8, I take the points. And I think the Eagles win this one probably, let's say, 27 to 17. I think Washington does score a few points. I think it's closer than people think.
Okay, that works for me. I mean, that's, that's where I figured you were kind of going. And that certainly makes a whole lot of sense. I'm going to lean towards an Eagle win, but I think it'll be a little bit closer, and I'll take Washington plus the 6 in week 1. All right, that's going to do it for us right here on the Crossover Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles, Locked On Washington Football Team. For Gino Camilleri, Louis DiBiase, his partner, nobody likes me, so I'm by myself. I'm Chris Russell. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll see you on each of our respective podcasts with us. Enjoy the season opener for the NFL, which is back.